Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose perfect love toward his Father and toward all of humankind fulfills the law for us to feel redeemed. It's like a broken record. The same thing over and over and over again. Our text takes place on Tuesday of Holy Week, and Jesus has been enduring many attacks. Now, these weren't attacks on his physical body, like whippings and beatings. They would come soon enough. These were attacks on his person, attacks against his teachings, attacks of the word. Round one was when the Pharisees contended with Jesus and said, "Where do you get your authority from?" And Jesus told two parables. The parable of the two sons who are asked to work in the vineyard, and the parable of the two wicked, or the wicked vine dressers. The second round was when the Pharisees joined together the Herodians and tried to trap Jesus and asked him, "Is it lawful for us to pay taxes," meaning to this ungodly government like Rome? And Jesus responded by saying, "Show me a coin." They showed him a coin. "Whose image is on there?" he said. They said, "Caesar's." And Jesus responded by saying, "Render, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Round three was when the Sadducees, another group of liberal theologians, tried to trap Jesus in the futility and foolishness of heaven. They didn't believe in heaven, in the afterlife. And so they asked him, "There was a woman who married a man, and they had no children, and he died. According to the Levitical law, his brother should now marry him. Well, this man had six brothers. And so all the brothers married her one by one. They all died, had no children, and then she finally died." And so they said, "So, whose wife will she be in heaven? All seven of them? Or one of them?" Trying to show the foolishness of heaven. Jesus responded to this trap with these words, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.'" And then we're told, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teachings." Well, this morning we have round four. The Pharisees were one of the most bitter opponents of Jesus. Because of their self-righteousness, they denied God's grace. They rejected his call to repent. Didn't believe in the forgiveness and salvation that Jesus was going to bring. And because they denied the need for a Savior in the person of Jesus, and because they were jealous of his popularity among the people, it incited hatred in their hearts. And these Pharisees tried to trap and embarrass Jesus in front of the people at every opportunity they got. But they never succeeded. Jesus always turned to the Word and quickly and easily thwarted their attempts.
You notice this morning in our sermon text, the very first verse of our text says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together." No doubt there was a certain amount of glee in the heart of the Pharisees because they hated the Sadducees. The Sadducees, as we said, didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in angels. And yet they were theologians, liberal theologians, who lived a very indulgent lifestyle. They didn't have much to do with the law. They were from the high priest's family, and they served in the temple. And that galled the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, they were Stoics. They lived according to the law. They were good, honest, upright people. In fact, they were so steeped in the law that they broke God's law, the Torah, down into 613 commandments. 284 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments. And then they spent their time rating all of them. Which commandment is more important than which other one? And so, is it worse to commit adultery or murder? Is it worse to steal or lie? Covet or curse? They had them all rated and judged that way. One commentator said that the Pharisees majored in minors. It means they spent time studying such stupid, insignificant things as how should we rate all of these commandments that we came up with and missed the major point of the law shows our sins. And so they thought they could trap Jesus by sending one of their experts in the law, a lawyer, one who studies the law, to ask Jesus, which one do you believe is the most important commandment of all? They thought for sure that would cause a controversy. Because even as there are 613 different commands that came up with, there are probably 613 different opinions as to which is the most important, which is the least important, and all the ones in between. And so Jesus, by saying this one is, would cause a controversy because others would say, no, that's not, and vice versa, and on and on and on. But Jesus very quickly and easily thwarted their trap and spoke the word of God in Deuteronomy 6:5 and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." That's the summary of the first table of the law, which summarizes the first three of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So what kind of love is God commanding in this greatest commandment of all? Perfect love. Perfect love from all of your heart, from all of your soul, and all of your mind. The word that's used there is agape. That perfect love that God has for each of us sinners. It's a love that always is unselfish, a love that always gives, always serves, always does for the other. And that was man's purpose. That was man's function that God created him to do, to love, honor, worship, obey, and serve him as their creator. The second commandment, Jesus says, is similar. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's a summary of the second table of the law, or commandments 4 through 10. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, and you shall not covet. So what is Jesus doing here by laying out these two really important commands of God? Well, first of all, he's answering that man's question in such a marvelous way that we're told that, and after that, no one dared question him. All those commands of yours, they're summarized in these two. Love God perfectly. Love your neighbors yourself. But also, Jesus is laying this before us for our purpose, too. He's showing to us that God, the law of God, is a mirror. When you look into the mirror, it shows us what you look like. It shows us your image. When you look into the mirror of the law, it shows us what we are like. It shows us our actions. It shows us our words. It even shows us our very thoughts. And what do we see? A perfectly handsome, perfect man? A wonderfully beautiful, perfect woman? With perfect love? Far from it. What we see are sins. Sins in our thoughts. Every time we sin, we break that first commandment because we didn't fear, love, and trust in God enough. Every sin we make is a sin against God, whether it's against a human being or the law. We break the second commandment every time we curse or swear or don't teach God's word properly. We break the third commandment. We don't come consistently to hear God's word or read it at home or sit here but not listen to his word being preached or sung or don't believe what's being said by God. We see very clearly we can't love God perfectly when we break commandments 4 through 10 by not loving our neighbors the way we should. John tells us in 1 John 4:20, if someone says, I love God, and then hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he sees, how can he love God whom he's not seen? And just a quick superficial look at commandments 4 through 10 reveals to us all the pimples, all the warts, all the scars, all the wrinkles that are on our spiritual hearts and spiritual souls, and no wrinkle cream, wart remover, acne wash, or makeup can cover any of it or take it away. We see our loveless actions toward our neighbors, toward our fellow workers, toward strangers. We hear our loveless words toward our spouse, our children, our parents, other loved ones. We look in the mirror of the law and we see inside of our heart and we see our sinful, lustful thoughts, sometimes angry, hateful thoughts, sometimes selfish thoughts that we have towards others. We also see our failure to love God perfectly. The mirror of the law does its job. It doesn't flatter us. It doesn't deceive us. It doesn't cover up things. How far from loving, much less perfect love, every single one of us is. The law thunders down upon us. The law reveals our sinfulness every time we look into it. And it condemns us. And it says to me, I am a sinner through and through. In fact, Scripture says, there is nothing good in our sinful nature. Every inclination of our sinful heart is evil from its youth, our youth. Our sinful mind is enmity. That means it's hostile. It's at war with God. And that's how the Spirit uses the law. It uses the law to lead us to despair of ourselves, thinking that we can earn our own way to heaven by doing something. It uses the law to lead us to acknowledge our miserable, sinful condition, to lead us to realize that we cannot, no matter how hard we try, we cannot meet God's commands to be perfect. And so the law, as that mirror, is never misleading. It always speaks the truth. It shows to you and me, we are sinners. And that's the first point of our text this morning. The Spirit uses the law to bring us face to face with the mirror of the law so we see our sins. And that's good. Because we see that that God whom we're to love perfectly calls himself Jehovah, the Lord God. In that name, Jehovah means the I am covenant God, the God who made the promise that he loves us sinners so much that he would send his son, the Messiah, the Savior, to do what we couldn't do. So Jesus loved his heavenly Father perfectly. His name, Jesus, means Jehovah saves. He loved his Father with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, all the time. Jesus loved his neighbor perfectly, meaning all of humankind. Never once did one sinful thought cross Jesus' mind. Isn't that amazing? How many sinful thoughts do we have in a day? Not one crossed Jesus' mind. Never once did he say a sinful word. Never once did he commit a sinful act. He always did what was right, never did what was wrong, and he did this all the time for all the world. God doesn't give us his law so that he can rejoice when we realize our sin or that we're caught in a sin. Like the policeman that's sitting there with his radar gun, he sees you go by and you're speeding, he goes, gotcha, and he gives you a speeding ticket. No, God's sad and sorrow-filled when we sin. And that's why he promised to send his son to take away our sins, to wash us from all of our sins, to remove that debt, to pay that fine, to take our place, to meet his justice, to be placed under our punishment. And Jesus willingly came to do that for every single one of us. He did suffer and die. He was damned for us. He was separated from his Father for us. And removed that barrier of sin between us and our perfect Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the Spirit uses the law to bring us face to face with the mirror of the law and see our sins. But now the Spirit uses the gospel to bring us face to face with the keeper of the law, our Savior Jesus. And when Jesus fills our hearts with his forgiving love, we're motivated, we're moved to want to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And we're moved to want to love each other as ourselves. We love him because he first loved us. In Christ alone, we have the power, the motivation, the desire to want to serve and love each other. God didn't change his demand when Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. He didn't say, okay, well, now that you can't keep it perfectly as you did before, now I'll just say, be as good as you can. God's law still says, be perfect, be holy. Don't ever sin. That's his demand. We cannot meet such a demand. We must confess that we're sinful, as we did this morning. And we must look to Jesus as the one whom the Father sent to say, he's kept it for you. He's been perfect for you, and he's taken all of your guilt, all of your punishment, all of your sins, and cast them into the depths of the sea and paid for your guilt and your punishment in full. Then with this love of our Savior in our hearts, we'll be motivated, we'll be moved to want to love our God and to want to serve and love each other. Salvation free by faith in thee, that is the gospel's teaching, the heart and core of Bible lore in all its sacred teaching. In Christ we must put all our trust, not in our deeds or labor. And then with conscience pure and heart secure, love thee, Lord, and our neighbor. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.